and turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Book of Acts chapter 2. You know, once again, I'm thankful to be here tonight. Appreciate the good songs. Appreciate your prayers. Acts chapter 2. What I want to do tonight is I want to begin a Bible study that God began to lay upon my heart throughout this past week. And trying to get settled, a little bit unique. Normally, when you think about Bible study, we think about a midweek service, and I thought we'd do a midweek service. And then the Lord burned my heart, and all we need to do it, maybe I first thought Sunday morning. Just start a Bible study on Sunday morning, because, you know, you get thinking about it. There's a different crowd Sunday morning than they are Sunday night or even Wednesday. And I started getting studying, got a little nervous about it. I'm going to do a Bible study. I've never done that before on Sunday morning. And then once I got pretty settled, the Lord gave me a message for Sunday morning. So we bumped it to Sunday night, and I feel like that's what God would have us to do, is have a Sunday night Bible study for a little while. But as I began to study throughout the week, and of course we had Brother Everett come and do Bible study for us, and that kind of freed me up, and he'd be doing the preaching throughout the week, so I just kind of give myself to, I want to try to draw close to the Lord, and I want to do some praying, more praying maybe than I normally would, and more studying than I have been. And as I began to do that, the Lord began to show me some things and move in my life and show me that there's some things that maybe I need to show a little less attention to and some things I need to show more attention to. And then I began to read Scripture, and I'd read a little bit, and God would kind of bring a verse out, and I'd jot it down, and I put a little thought beside that verse. And then a little while later, same thing. And I turned on the radio and listened to some CDs and some sermon audio, and I'd hear something, hear a verse, and I'd write down a little thought. Put on Brother Glenn Irwin, heard something, a little thought here, and James Burn, a little thought here, and just kept on doing it throughout the week. And I'm just telling y'all that to you understand. It just seemed like that the Lord kind of scattershot me with thoughts throughout the week. And every time I'd write one down, I thought that'd be a good single message to preach. And as I sat down Friday and began to really study and look over my chicken scratch, and that's what I call it. My notes are chicken scratch. So I'd like to borrow your notes. You're not going to get much out of it. And so it's just chicken scratching. But as I began to look over it, it began to settle me upon an outline that I feel like will take us a little time. I don't know how long, but I know more than one service. And what I want us to look at is this simple thought. God's church is most powerful when it's in one accord. I want you to think about that. And we're going to just use that and come back to it as we study. But I want to, we may take different avenues and look at different things, but I want to come back to that thought. God's church is most powerful when it's in one accord. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. You know, you think about that one statement, fear came upon every soul. That's the fear of the Lord, a respect, a very godly respect for the Lord. And this fear came upon every soul. You know, there's very little fear of the Lord anymore. And even, especially among God's people, that just don't really fear Him, and not an awful lot of respect in many times. And so it says here, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You have here, this is time where massive numbers of people are being saved. And if you remember on the day of Pentecost, that's when a lot of them got saved. And you had people that were in Jerusalem that were not normally in Jerusalem. They were from all parts of the world, and they come there to worship. And when they did, they got involved in a church service, and they got saved. And they didn't know what to do. Can you imagine that? There's no other church on the face of the earth. Just this one church, and they have received instruction that was life-changing. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And so do I go home? What do I do? So a lot of them sold their goods, and they come, and they brought it, and they had it common. And maybe people that lived in Jerusalem, maybe they sold things to help people out, to be there. And so I imagine the population in Jerusalem spiked at this time by large numbers. Because they come there, and they had all things common. And they had great, great power. Because they were of singleness of heart. They were in one accord. Now, tonight, what is the benefit of our church, Clear Branch Baptist Church? What's the benefit of us being in one accord? I believe I could answer it this way, as Paul would say. He said, much every way. I believe I could use that term. Much every way. You think about the country we live in, the United States of America, USA, United States of America. That means states that have come together in unity. What was that unity? Whenever this country was founded, you know, it was founded on religious liberties. And, you know, I know you say other things as well, but one nation under God. And people had a common understanding of that. And so we had a God built one of the greatest nations that ever has existed on the face of the earth. I know you say Israel, but the United States just has been a world power. So well, there's two or three other world powers, but even they understood the United States was the world power and the envy of all the world. God richly and has richly blessed this country. And yet, little by little, people begin to get selfish and worldly and all these different ideas and different thoughts and let's leave God out of this and let's leave God out of that and let's kick him out of schools. And I know you can't literally kick God out of schools, but a man wanted to try at least. And we've become very ununited. There's not very much unity. And you have the liberal and the conservatives, and always fighting back and forth. Everybody's got so many ideas, and everybody's become really, really selfish in this country, this great country. And wouldn't you have to say that our country is nowhere near as powerful as it used to be? It does not have the influence it once had. It does not have even the appeal. And when I say that, I say it very humbly because I don't want to go anywhere else, but it does not have the appeal it once did. And the reason is because we've lost unity. We no longer are one nation under God, looking to God for and fearing God. And so when you come to the church, with the church having great power, God used it, and so many people were getting saved. The Bible says this, God's hand is not short that he cannot save. And then he goes on to say that it's iniquity that is separated. Iniquity. He said, well, it's the lost sinner. They're sinful and that's why they're separated. Lost sinners have always been lost sinners. And the reason they're lost sinners is because of iniquity, because of sin. And so I believe it's talking about more than that. I believe he's talking about the sin of his people. Iniquity has gotten so much that it's caused even the lost not to be burdened like they once were. They don't see the example they once did. They don't see the appeal of being saved like they once be it. And so some of that would be on our shoulder. That's some of that's our responsibility. So when the church had this great power, the reason they did, they were submitting themselves as vessels unto God. And whatever God wants, we're totally submissive to. Whatever He wants. If He wants me to sell everything I own and give to the poor, that's what I'm going to do. He said, well, that sounds like socialism. This is God's plan. This is God's plan. It's different than what man tries to conjure up. Usually anything man tries to conjure up, we're selfish, and there's the bottom line that people are looking at. But this was charity in its purest form, self-sacrificial love, like God asked for us. And so, can we be in one accord today? Can God's church be in one accord today? Well, I don't know, Brother Brad, because everybody's got so many different thoughts and ideas, and we raised different, and just a different world today than it was back then. Well, let's not forget, we're not just speaking about old carnal, worldly human beings, but we're talking about the body of Christ. Can the body of Christ be in unity today? You remember the angel of the Lord that came to Mary? And said, Mary, you are going to be with child. Well, your first thought is, I don't know about that. How can these things be, seeing I know not a man? I don't see how that's possible. Well, the thing that is going to come upon you is of the Holy Ghost. And you can almost see, okay, I get it now. In that case, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Here I am. I surrender. If it's what God wants to do, you should have said it first. If it's God that's going to do it, then here I am. I surrender. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. And he goes on to say, and also thy cousin Elizabeth, who is in her old age, is going to have a child as well. In fact, she's already pretty far along. We'll have a baby. And that seems highly unlikely. How can that happen? Well, the angel explained it to her. He said in Luke 1 and verse 37, he said, for with God, nothing is impossible. So that changes everything. With God, nothing is impossible. Can we be in one accord? Well, it seems highly unlikely considering the day we live in. It seems, impossible since we all got different ideas and our backgrounds are different. But wait a minute. That's what the Holy Ghost wants for His people. So, I got you now. With God, all things are possible. So if an impossible human task can be made possible, a virgin can conceive. If something is highly unlikely, like someone that's past childbearing age can have a child, then he can still have a submissive church, walk in one accord. So what should we be united or focused upon? Well, you look at what they're focused upon here, and that's not really... that don't really fit our day, does it? God's not, I don't think God's asking us to go out and sell everything we own. He could, at one point, but I don't think that's what He wants out of us today. There's been a lot of things established today, and, mankind's living a lot different than we used to, and there's churches all over the place now, and it's nowhere near needful, for what they we're dealing with at this time. So they were focused not just simply on we're trying to take care of all the carnal needs, but we want to see the church grow and we want to see people get saved. And what's the best way we can do that? And so they had singleness of mind, singleness of heart. And they just looked to the Lord. We're going to submit, and here we are in one accord. What should we be focused on today? Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. So, where there's no vision, the people perish. If you consider the fact that we are what is known as the Laodicean church age, the Laodicean church age is blind. Cannot see. Where there's no vision, the people perish. And so we see what the days we're living in. That's what we're seeing. The Laodicean church age is blind, of course, wretched and poor and naked and all these things. And yet they don't know that they're that way. In fact, they feel like everything's good. You know, we're fine. Nothing really wrong with us. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Our focus, and this is what I feel confident as your pastor here tonight, what we need to be focused on in one accord, our focus needs to be on focus. And that may sound a little bit silly, but let me explain. God's focus. What does God focus on? That's what we need to focus on. I want you to try something when you get home. Whenever you get a little time to yourself. I want you to consider your normal study time. Whatever your normal study time is, I want you to consider it. I want you to not change anything in your routine. You just go and you, wherever it is, your prayer closet, your study, wherever you study, I want you to go and don't change anything about your routine. In other words, if you go in and you don't shut the door, then don't shut the door. Keep on doing what you're doing. If you go into your study and you take your phone with you, take your phone, if you left beside you, don't change anything. And I want you to, every time that you are distracted from your 100% focus on why you're there, take away a point. And I want you just to notice just how distracted you really are. I'm going to take all that back, because if you do that, you will be so distracted you won't be able to study. But I want you to think about the point I'm trying to make with that, okay? So you sit down in your study and, well, there'll be a dog barking off. You think, I wonder what that dog's barking. You've just been distracted. And you, some road noise going by, and somebody go by with loud pipes or radio boom, 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 booming. And my goodness, you start paying attention to that for a little while. Then, okay, I've got to get my mind on what I'm doing, and that phone, boom, boom, boom. Well, that's a text from Mama. I can't. You will check it or bust. And whenever you check it, there'll probably be some kind of red notification somewhere. Well, I got some email. I need to check that and clear them off while I'm at it. Oh, Facebook. It's going on there. Let me go ahead and check that out. Wait a minute. I was studying. Let me get back to what I was doing. And I'm not throwing stones. And if you don't have your phone beside you and you've got total peace and quiet, here's something else to consider. You can go into your prayer closet and you can try to focus, and your mind is so geared up that your thoughts are just scattered everywhere a lot of times. And you try to be, you'll be reading. Next thing you know, you'll be thinking about something else, and you'll have to. You'll start chasing rabbits. In your mind, that's what you'll do. Maybe not everybody. But tonight, the burden of my heart, we need to focus on our focus. Because that's what the devil's after. The devil, he wants to get our mind on anything else but what God wants our mind to be on. So, you say, Brother Brad, I think we ought to focus on the love of God. That'd be great. Let's get there. But you're going to have to learn to focus before you can really get on it. Because you know all about the love of God, but if you can't focus on it, it's not going to do you a whole lot of good. And we, you know, we had a wonderful Bible study on the church this past week. And yet, really, you can't focus exactly on that Bible study because your mind is so scattered on everything else. See, we are half-heartedly in the battle. We are half-heartedly worshiping. We are half-heartedly giving God our attention many, many times. And I know that's not a blanket statement to throw out to everybody, but if the shoe fits, we need to wear it. When something has our heart, we will fully and totally give ourselves over to it. I love to fish. When I'm fishing, I don't think about anything else. Nothing distracts me. I guess the boat could be sinking. I'd still be fishing. I don't get distracted very much. And even if the boat is sinking, I'll try to bail it out while I'm still casting. I am focused when I'm fishing. You think about somebody like sports. Get your mind on it. Boy, we are focused on it. There's been times I've been so focused on it. Sabrina walked in, tried to say something to me. She might as well not even said anything. I have tuned in to that ball game. We can be riding down the road. I don't have to be in front of a TV. I can turn that radio on, and I can hear them start talking. Lattimore just did this, and old Kamara just did that. I can hear that. Boy, I can see it in my mind, what's going on. I've got a picture. I'm watching the play in my mind. And there's a lot of other things going on around me, but I'm focused on that. I've had to break myself from some of those habits. And I'm not throwing stones saying these things are bad. I just want us to see when something has our attention, when it has our heart, we devote ourselves to it. We need to accept the truth that we have been scattered in our thoughts and our environment is set up to distract us, and we need to take action against that. Otherwise, we have another 5 years going the way we're going. Well, you can about imagine what that's going to be like. You get the next generation growing up with all the distractions they already have at 4 and 5 and 6 years old, and you let that catch on. And you can imagine where we're heading. So as God's people, I want to plead with us, we need to focus on our focus. Look over at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's a weighty statement. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. Out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So here we see the vulnerability of our heart if it is not kept. Now, talk about the heart, and well, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is wicked. That's why we need to be very careful what we set our heart on, because it can deceive us quicker than anything else. But it's also with the heart, a person cannot be saved unless they trust Jesus with their heart. And really, whenever we're being guided by the Holy Spirit leads our heart. And so, well, he leads our thoughts. I understand that, but we jump on board with all our heart. How are you going to find the Lord? You'll find me whenever you search for me with all thine heart. So we need to keep our heart, because out of it come all the issues of life. And he says, our eyes are to be focused. Look forward and don't look to the right or the left. Our walk is to be straight. We are to be following the Lord with all of our heart, and we're to keep our eyes upon that at all times. And we need to be paying attention to that and paying attention to our focus. Ponder the paths of your feet. Let them be established. Then do not be distracted from that established path. God's church, Clear Branch, can be in one accord. But we must receive His word, then ponder our path. Let Him settle us. We must keep our heart, else we'll focus it on something else. And it'll have our heart. We'll give our attention over to whatever this is, this distraction. I want to ask you this, and this is not for my benefit, it's for yours. I want you to think about this. What has your heart right now? I mean, really, and let's get outside of church just a minute, because we like to offer our church answer when we're sitting in church. What will have your heart tomorrow? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? What's going to have your heart? Why are you thinking about that? How can we be in one accord if our hearts are scattered among all the cares of this world? How can we be in one accord? When you go back and you look at the church, the example that we have, their heart was not scattered on all the things of this world. Their heart was in one accord on the will of God. What is the will of God for us? And that's what they focused on. And if it meant selling everything they had to accomplish God's will, that's what they'd do. Willing to sacrifice. How much are we willing to sacrifice? And again, this is not a message saying, all right, I need y'all to all go set. So there may be some religious speakers that will stand up here and say, now y'all need to go set all your stuff and bring it here and let me distribute it. Now, you know there's some religions that do that. So I'm pretty close to here. Sell all the stuff you own and bring your money to me. Or if you get your paycheck, you bring me your paycheck and I'll tell you how you need to spend it. I've had some members come along, told me that's what their pastor told them. Bring your paycheck to me and I'll tell you how you need to spend it. That's not what God wants from us. But I will say this, without vision, the people perish. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to tune your focus? I want to close with an image. I want to try to get an image on your mind, on your heart. If every one of us that are saved truly crucified the flesh daily, and we allow the Holy Spirit to focus our thoughts daily, and we submitted to His will daily, I wonder what kind of power we would truly have as His church. If I'm not willing to do my part, then I need to quit pointing at the world as the problem. See, we're taking the easy way out when we do that. I tell you what, we need such and such. We need our president. There's nobody in this building that thinks that our president is making some foolish mistakes, more than I do. He's making some decisions that's evermore hurting us as a country. And it breaks my heart to see that. And I can't do an awful lot about what he does. But I can fix Brad O'Neill. Or I can let Jesus fix Brad O'Neill. And so, if I'm not willing to do my part, then I need to quit pointing at the world and saying the world's the problem. Because the problem is me. That's where the problem is. So I need to look at me. I'm either for him or I'm against him. I'm either carnal or I'm spiritual. You cannot be both. I'm either all in or I'm lukewarm. If we're lukewarm, It's not the world that's making God sick. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He's talking to the church when he said that. He's talking to his people. I will spew you out of my mouth if you get lukewarm. Check your temperature. You think you're lukewarm? If you were honest with yourself, would you say you're lukewarm? Now, we're going to just close. I don't know how to time these things, get them just right, but I want to come back in maybe, I don't know just when, maybe Wednesday night, maybe next Sunday evening, maybe next Sunday morning, who knows. But I want to come in and look at the thought of sitting at His feet once again. We need to get back to sitting at the Lord's feet once again and seeing the value that's in there. Let's rise for a song.